Greetings, everyone. This is Stephen Green, and I want to welcome you to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. So if someone asked you how you would describe this world right now, would you call it a happy place, a secure place, a place where your children are growing up in a world that is better than the one you had when you were a child? Or is this a world filled with crime, filled with natural disasters, filled with disease, filled with wars, filled with all of the things that we would call evil? I think most of us would tend to describe this world that we live in as anything except a happy one. This world is heading down a path that will lead to its destruction. Today I want to talk about the actual state of affairs in the United States of America. I want to show you what this country has done to anger God. I want to show you when this country caused God to reject it. Because God has warned all nations not to turn away from obeying his commandments. In 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 15, "But if you will not hearken to the voice of the Eternal, but rebel against the commandment of the Eternal, then the hand of the Eternal shall be against you." God's hand is against the nation that does not keep his commandments. And what does he promise to do to that nation? Notice Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 17. "But if they," meaning a nation, "if a nation will not obey, I will utterly uproot and destroy that nation." That is a promise from God. And I want to show you just what this nation has done. The United States of America, the greatest nation in the last 200 years, that was established and founded upon godly principles, godly men, and a constitution based upon the Bible, what this nation has done. And notice when these things were done, because those events have caused God to hide his face from this nation. There are five seemingly insignificant events that have been the underlying reason why this nation has turned from God. In 1960, due to the efforts of Margaret Sanger, who was a leader of an organization that was the precursor to Planned Parenthood, with funding from Karen McCormick, working through some scientists, they were able to get the FDA to approve the birth control pill. Now, you might say, what has this got to do with God's commandments? Think about it. What is the purpose of the birth control pill other than to allow unrestricted and free sex outside of marriage? God ordained that sex was only allowed inside of marriage. And with the advent and the approval of the birth control pill, this nation has gone on a rampage of sex. It's on the TV. It is in advertising. It is in the stores. It is in the dress. Young women today barely have enough clothes to cover themselves so that they are not called naked. In 1960, when the government approved the release and use of the birth control pill, it legislated away the seventh commandment of God against adultery.
In the 1960s, James Norris made the first complaint against a clinic offering birth control. That eventually led to a landmark case in the Supreme Court about access to contraception.
Well, I'm 100% against birth control because it's immoral. It's the same as prostitution or abortion.
I naturally didn't want to see women take all the suffering of childbearing and of pregnancies.
In 2012, the Obama administration approved a mandate for employers to provide contraceptive coverage without out-of-pocket costs as part of the Affordable Care Act. 7 years later, the Trump White House wants to roll that mandate back nationwide and allow nearly any employer with a religious or moral objection to opt out.
A believer should not be forced by the government to have to choose between following his faith and following the law.
But women's health advocates are bracing for a fight.
And my pledge today is, our doors stay open!
The next event occurred in 1962. This was when the Supreme Court of the United States banned prayer in schools. A year later, in 1963, the Supreme Court banned the Bible from being read in schools. The Supreme Court is the top, highest legislative representation of the government of this nation that we have. And in doing what they did, they legislated away the teaching of God, His laws, His commandments, His statutes, His precepts, His judgments, His Sabbaths, His holy days, away. They are all gone. Our children no longer know of any of these things. They do not know how to worship God. Instead, they worship idols. They do not know to avoid taking God's name in vain. How many times per day do you hear or see OMG? It is a frivolous use of God's name. And then, of course, worshiping God on the Sabbaths and keeping His holy convocations, His holy days. The next event occurred in 1971 when President Richard Nixon took this country off of the gold standard.
We must protect the position of the American dollar as a pillar of monetary stability around the world. I have directed Secretary Connally to suspend temporarily the convertibility of the dollar into gold or other reserve assets, except in amounts and conditions determined to be in the interest of monetary stability and in the best interest of the United States.
Many of us remember that. And the result, as we will see, has been disastrous. For it has promoted, indirectly, the violation of the 8th and 10th commandments not to steal and not to covet. And the last event occurred in 1973, when once again, President Richard Nixon legalized abortion.
Good evening. In a landmark ruling, the Supreme Court today legalized abortions. The majority in cases from Texas and Georgia said that the decision to end a pregnancy during the first 3 months belongs to the woman and her doctor, not the government. Thus, the anti-abortion laws of 46 states were rendered unconstitutional.
Obviously, abortion is nothing but legalized murder of unborn and nowadays almost born children. And this, again, violates the 6th commandment, not to murder. So what has been the result of all these legislative actions to eliminate God's 10 commandments? Let's begin and look at the financial state of the United States of America. Take a look at the GDP. Now, GDP stands for Gross Domestic Product. It is essentially a tracking of the average price of goods and services that the country produces. And you'll notice that the GDP continues to rise. The rise of the GDP is a good thing because that means that the country is producing more and is able in most cases, to earn more. In other words, wealth increases, or you would think, with the GDP going up. However, because this country has legislated away God's commandments, look at what actually has happened. This next plot that you will see is of something called CPI. Now, CPI is the Consumer Price Index, and it's basically a measure of the cost of the goods and services in the country to the average consumer. And notice that it too, like the GDP, has continued to rise. But CPI is a measure also of inflation. So when you look at the prices from 1 year and compare it to the previous year, if it goes up, that's inflation. So that means the cost of goods and services go up. And it has gone up ever since. Notice, when we were taken off of the gold standard, it has gone up dramatically. And if you will run the numbers, since 1970, the rate of inflation, the amount that the cost of goods and services has gone up, is 560%. So what does inflation mean? It means that what you are buying costs more and more every year. We're going to see something else about the rate of inflation too, that is just wiping out much of the wealth that you would expect from an increasing GDP. And oddly enough, government officials, when they talk about the economic situation, literally brag about an increasing GDP. Why is that? We're going to answer that question. So this next plot is a plot showing the productivity in the United States. Productivity is going up continuously, but look at the other yellow line. That is the relative wages for the American worker. Now, you would think that if productivity is increasing, we have an increasing GDP, we have more stuff to sell, that the wealth and the wages of the workers would be going up. But it's not. Why? Because inflation is taking away all of the gains that the American worker would make otherwise. Why is that? Think about it. How many at the end of the year in their job receive a cost of living increase in their pay? Think about it. The prices went up the year before, but your wages don't increase by the same inflation rate or cost of living increase to cover the increase in cost of goods for another year. So somebody is making profit off of that difference. And who do you think that would be? It is the wealthy, the owners of companies, the owners of businesses, those who are in control of the economy. They know that they make profit by increasing the prices and then waiting a year to give you an increase so that you can continue to barely afford things as the price increases. But there is a penalty that is coming upon the wealthy. James chapter 5 and verse 1. Come now, you rich men, weep. How over the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have been eaten away, and their corrosion will be a testimony against you and will consume your flesh like fire. Here it is. You have hoarded wealth for the last days. Listen, the wages of the workmen who harvested your fields These are the workmen who work in the companies, people that work and make the things that companies produce. They are not making the wages. The wages of the workmen who harvested your fields, which have been withheld by you, are crying out, and the cries of those who reaped have entered into the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived in luxury upon the earth, and you have lived in self-gratification. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Now, what is the result of taking us off the gold standard? Let's look at the national debt and answer the question of why it even exists. You'll notice in this chart that the national debt in red is continuously increasing and has so ever since the gold standard was eliminated. Also on this plot is the GDP, and it likewise is increasing. Remember, GDP is a good thing. National debt is not. The important thing to notice is that in 2012, the national debt equaled the GDP, and it is now higher than the GDP. What does this mean? It means that there is more debt than there is the value of all the goods and services in this country combined. That means that we do not have enough money to pay off our debt if we sold everything that we have or that we have produced in this country. And right now, the government cannot even afford to pay the interest on this debt. So how has this come about? When President Richard Nixon took us off of the gold standard, it started something called deficit spending. The government now no longer spends based upon the income from taxes that they have. They spend out of debt. They make money when they want to spend it. Do you think this is sustainable? In the end, we do not have any real money because it is all contained in IOUs called treasury bonds. The only way out of this is to either increase the production of goods and services or reduce the standard of living, as we might call it. Reduce our expenses. But do you think that's going to happen? No. So this debt will continue to increase until the weight of the debt collapses the financial system. In Deuteronomy 28 and in verse 43, let's read what God says to the nation who will not obey him. The stranger, someone who is not a citizen, dwelling among you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. The stranger shall loan to you, and you shall not loan to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. There's also, in God's law, a commandment from God not to do one of the things that this country has been doing for decades. Let's read it in Deuteronomy 23, verse 20. You may lend on interest to a stranger, but you shall not lend on interest to your brother, so that the Lord God may bless you. Do you think that God would approve of amortized loans for all the houses and cars that we buy? Banks that have non-linear interest curves that cost us almost the price of what we are buying on top of the original purchase price because of the interest alone. Sometimes the interest alone causes the total cost of something to go up a factor of 2 or 3. Do you think God is pleased with this? Let's take a look also at crime. On this plot, you'll see that since the days that the Supreme Court banned God from schools, crime has rocketed. Now, it did reach a peak and it has dropped, but those numbers are still incredibly high. And it's also likely that they don't reflect the true crime that is out there. A lot of crime nowadays is via the internet. And if you notice that the peak occurred in the early 90s, it's significant that that's only a few years after 1988, when the internet was finally established in its final form. Think of all the ransomware that causes people, innocent people, hospitals, businesses, to have to pay somebody they will never see, never arrest, never prosecute, just to have access to their computers again. Think of all the spam email promising abundance of money if you will but send a small amount so that we can send you that money. How many elderly have been bankrupt because of this? These numbers are not in the crime statistics. Another very interesting thing about these plots. Notice the red plot showing the number of people put in prison. It doesn't start to rise for 15 to 20 years after the crime has increased. What that says is that the working life of a criminal is about 15 to 20 years before they are incarcerated, before they are imprisoned. This is a bold statement of injustice. Our court systems do not punish the wicked. Our court systems take years to prosecute people. Our system of justice is broken. Now I want to turn to abortions. And I want you to look at these curves carefully. Notice, before abortions were legalized, they started to increase. Was that not a result of the promiscuous sex, adultery, and fornication that occurred after we got rid of the Bible in schools? Or inventing the birth control pill? Notice also the divorce rates in red. They have tracked that curve perfectly. There is a penalty and a price for abortions. In total, this country has murdered 58 million children so far. And even if the number of abortions drops to zero, there is a price that this country will pay for these abortions. God will take it out in blood. Because God hates murder. So we have 5 seemingly insignificant events in this country that legislated away beginning in 1960 and up through the early 70s, got rid of the Ten Commandments. And from that time, as we have seen, everything is going wrong. Everything is turning to evil. There is so much hatred today in people. There is so much injustice. There is so much crime. There's so much fear. There's disease. This nation is facing a crisis in the soon coming years. You can see that by the numbers. We cannot continue to have this level of debt. We cannot continue to crush the people of this country. We cannot continue to keep the word of God from them. We must teach this world God's commandments. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, there is a description of the people of this country, who we are as a nation. Let's read it. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, braggarts, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, savage, despisers of those who are good, betrayers, reckless, egotistical, and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Isn't this a description of this nation, the United States of America? How much longer will God withhold his wrath? The events that we have seen will bring us to that place, that time of his wrath, because we have done away with his law. And God promises vengeance and punishment upon those who take his law away. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, understanding this, that law is not enacted for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinful, for the unholy and profane. Verse 10, for fornicators, for homosexuals, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and any other thing that is against sound doctrine. That is what God's law is for, and we have eliminated it in this country, and we will be paying the price for it. Here is what God has promised and what is coming to this country. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 12. The nation and kingdom that will not serve God will perish. But there is still hope. There is still a way out for this country. And God does not want to punish anyone. God does not want to bring evil upon anyone. He does not want to destroy anyone. All he asks is for us to keep his commandments. All he asks is for us to obey him. And if we have gone down the path of disobedience, he tells us how we can correct it. Jeremiah 18, verse 7. If at any time I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up and to pull it down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken will turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do to them. The answer is turn to God. Repent to God. If you are watching this, have you done so? If you are watching this, have you been thinking about the state of this nation and wondering and fearing even? If you are watching this, are you looking for an answer? If you are watching this, are you seeking God? I pray that you are, and I pray that you will continue to do so in the fullness of tears and prayers and study, hearing God's voice through his Bible, which is the Word of God. And I pray that he bless you in seeking him. And until next time, this is Stephen Green for Church at Home.